right, take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. We had a great missionary here on Wednesday night. And if you went to those that went to Mexico a couple different times, Claudia was one of the girls that worked with Brother Matt. She married Ryan, who is from down by Piedmont, Missouri, and they have started or taken over the church there that Brother Matt had started. And so they were here and got to fellowship with them and stayed in the prophet's chamber a few days, and we're glad to have them. All right. Praise the Lord. Got a lot to say and a little time to say it. So let me read a few verses to you. And here's the title: Peter's Best Question. I'm glad he asked this question, because if he hadn't asked it, we'd had all different kinds of answers, and none of them would have been right. But I'm glad he asked it, and I'm even more grateful that God answered it. Amen? So I want to read to you these verses. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Now, I think, just let me put in a little commentary. I think what God's saying is, don't go gossip about it. Don't slander it on Facebook. Hallelujah. I said, don't put it on Facebook. I tell you, I just love to call out these cowards on Facebook that says, you know who you are and what you said. Well, the rest of us don't leave us hanging. Amen. Tell us. Amen. Scoundrel. Don't call somebody on the phone and say, you know what so-and-so did to me or so-and-so said to me. I'll read it again in case we missed it. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and gossip about it. Go and sit at home and sulk about it. Well, don't say none of that stuff that we do. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, and if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then splatter it on Facebook. Go and gossip about it then. So, well, I tried and he didn't. I'm telling everybody. No, it doesn't say that either. Then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, and they're supposed to not take sides, they're supposed to tell him to get right. If he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Now here comes the question. Peter. And Peter came. Came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? That's a good question. I'm sure Peter's sitting there thinking of a few times somebody did something. Thought, now I wonder how many times I ought to tell him I'm sorry. He's forgiven. Amen. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times seven, but until 70 times seven. Let's read on. Therefore, now Jesus is going to give a parable. He's going to teach us a lesson. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. If you mark in your Bible, mark in there $10 dollars. And there's not one person sitting in this room that in a lifetime with interest rates could pay a debt of $10 million on a natural salary. It is an unpayable debt. But for as much as he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, if you think about that, just give me time and I'll pay it. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. If you want to make a little note, $1,000. There ain't a person in this room that couldn't pay a $1,000 debt in a lifetime. Right? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest me. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their lord all that was done, the first king. Then his lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his lord was wroth and delivered him to be tormented, or to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, listen. The very last verse says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. What will God do? God will deliver you over to the devil and make you sorry you didn't forgive. Now, all I have under here to drink is anointing oil. I'm not sure how that's going to go down. Think that cleaning lady would have compassion on me and put something under here. We just renewed our life insurance. Ooh, she's not as smart as she thinks she is. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come today thanking you for the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we come to a very, very important part of Scripture, because every one of us in here has had somebody to do something against them. And most of us in this room have probably not responded right at first, and maybe still holding a grudge. Maybe still, God, if we mention a thought, would instantly bring up a person or an event that happened. And Lord, I pray today that you would help us to learn to forgive, and God, to accept forgiveness. In Jesus we pray, amen. All right. Matthew 18 is filled with instructions about the danger of offenses. In verses 6 through 10, thanks, Gabe. Glad I got one son that cares about me. Verse 6 says, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone hanged around his neck, about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. It's interesting, isn't it? Verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now, I don't believe we have guardian angels. I believe children do to a certain age, but I don't believe adults do. I believe we've got the Holy Spirit. And I'd much rather have the Holy Spirit than I would a guardian angel. Amen. Now, the Bible warns us of offending a little child that wants to come to Jesus. Warns us severely about that. It warns us of the danger of offending a little child. Now, that ought to help some of us old crabby ones when we start getting crabby and ugly towards children. Amen? Now, I know you have perfect ones, and everybody else doesn't. But we ought to learn and remind ourselves that God really does care how we treat children. I believe some of the sorriest people in this world are those that mistreat children. Verse number 7 through 9, there are personal offenses. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off. God said, don't offend yourself. Don't cause yourself to stumble in the Christian walk. And then, of course, in these verses that we read is the offenses between Christians. Now, the Bible tells us that there is no way to be right with God and to be wrong with mankind. Look up here and listen closely. There is no way to be right with God and to be wrong with mankind. Okay, take your Bibles quickly. 1 John, I tell you, John a skin to hide off of you. He'll just call you a liar and not even apologize for it. I would never do that, but he would. 1 John chapter 2. Verse number 9. I'm going to read you. When you get there, you read it. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now here's what God says. If you say you're a Christian and you hate somebody, you're not saved. Wait a minute, preacher. Okay, now I'm not arguing with the Word of God, amen. He that saith he is in the light. Jesus said, I am the light. When we get saved, we get in the light. We get out of darkness and into light. Right? He that saith, I'm in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness. That means you've never been saved. There ain't no other way to interpret that verse. Chapter 4 of 1 John, if a man, so apparently there's probably a guy out here that says this, or a gal. 1 John 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, now I don't even want to read this, so you read it. What's in words say? He is a what? If he is saying that in Missouri language, he'd say you're a stinking liar. A bald-faced liar. Don't really know what that... My dad used to say, they're just a bald-faced liar. I don't really know what that meant, but maybe they wasn't a hairy-faced liar. Amen? If a man say, I love God... So if you're sitting here today and you say, oh, how I love Jesus, but there's somebody present that you hate, you're a liar. You don't love God. You don't love God. You don't love God. Here, let me give you an example. We won't go there for sake of time because we're already late into the message and it's going to be a late one. Some of you are already having hate in your heart. Oh, come on, preacher. Jacob had all these boys and he had one named Joseph. And his brothers hated him. And they could not speak kindly. They couldn't speak in a normal, civil manner to him. If that's you, let me tell you, pal, let me tell you, sister, you're not right with God. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Now, I can just sit here all day and preach. I like preaching on this because so many Christians go through life and they hold these little grudges and they have these. You mention something and a person pops up in their mind or an event pops up in their mind and they're instantly. Now here they're godly, but in their heart, where God looks, God sees what's in there. And I believe if I read my Bible right, Jesus said, out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so I'm going to preach a little bit today on this subject of Peter's best question. And I want to preach very directly to you and to me about this subject of being unforgiving. And in our story, or in our passage, not a story, but in our passage, Peter had asked this question. All right? He had asked this question on offenses. Now, I want to say here, I wrote this in my notes so I could say it the way that I would want to say it. Some people in this room need to toughen up. Not everything ought to offend you. So here's how I wrote it. Toughen up, buttercup. Good night. Now, they don't mind saying things and doing things that offend other people, but there's some people that's always looking to be offended. And if you just spend a little bit of time around other people, somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to say something, all right? So just go. I won't read this, but go to Ecclesiastes 7, 21 and 22 later in life. You don't have to go there now, but write it down and go there and read it and ponder it. The Bible says if you know somebody that's offended you or you've offended somebody, we read that, agree with thine adversary quickly. So Peter hears Jesus give this truth in verse 15 through 18. And I'm sure Peter is, as I would have been, I would be thinking, well, what is the proper amount of forgiveness to be offered? I mean, since we're talking about it, how many times should I, who this guy has offended me, forgive him? I mean, it's a legitimate question because all of us have been offended. How many times should I forgive him? You know, once is a lot to ask from me, and once is a lot to ask from you. Seven times is a lot to ask from us. Well, Jesus is going to deal with that. So we're going to look at the servant first. So Jesus is going to say, until 70 times seven, and he's going to give us an illustration with three people, or really four people involved, and he's going to try to teach us this important lesson. The conclusion of the lesson is this: you better forgive, or you'll get on the wrong side of God, and God will make you wish you had forgiven. So if you're walking around today and you've got a lot of grudges or a lot of things you can remember in your mind that people have done to you or said to you, or you're just naturally just quick-tempered about every little thing that goes on, and you better learn how to get this thing out of your heart, under the blood, and right with God. All right, because there is a severe penalty to pay for this. And I'm going to preach on that. So the servant. Now we read this passage of Scripture, and I just want to notice about five things about the servant. All right, five things about this servant. And so the Bible says in verse 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one, just one of them was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now write down there like $10 million or $100 million, an amount that would have been physically impossible to have paid on a natural salary. I don't know how he ended up with this debt. It's not explained to us. The Lord just tells us. But it is a reminder to us that we have a debt to God that we cannot pay. Through all eternity, we could never pay this debt that we owe to God. So we want to look at four or five things. First of all, is the about this servant is the unpayable debt. This man could never pay this debt. If this man made $50,000 a year and paid half of his salary towards that debt, he would not even get close to what he owed. Because not only did he owe the debt, he owed interest occurring on the debt. And today, ladies and gentlemen, there are multitudes of people who have a debt they cannot pay. They have a debt that they cannot pay. And Jesus Christ offers freedom and forgiveness for that debt you cannot pay. And praise God for it. Look at it there in verse number 27. When the Lord of the servant, he was moved with compassion, he loosed him. He freed him. And he forgave him of the debt. And you and I have a debt that we cannot pay. And thank God that God is gracious and forgiving and looses us of the sin debt under the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me quickly say this. It cost that king to forgive this man his debt. You know what it cost him? $10 million. That's what it cost him to forgive him. It cost him 100 pence, whatever, let me see, what was it? He said, which owed him 10,000 talents. Cost him 10,000 talents to forgive him. And it cost God something to forgive you, and that was the life of his dear son. He had an unpayable debt. Second of all, he had undeserving kindness. In verse number 26, the servant fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. He didn't deserve to be treated in a kind manner. He deserved to be sold, and his wife sold, and his children sold, and his house sold, and everything that he had, and pay his debt. But thank God this Lord was moved with compassion. And thank God, ladies and gentlemen, that our God is moved with compassion towards us. Not only did he have an unpayable debt, undeserving kindness, but he was an unworthy servant. There was nothing about this servant that merited his forgiveness of the debt. Somebody in here, tell me, what merited you to be forgiven of God? Zero. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are worthy of hell. There's an unforgiving servant, though, we see. This servant went and found a fellow that owed him just a little bit of money. A debt that could have been paid, it appears, within a year's time. And he was unwilling to forgive him. This man enjoyed freedom. He enjoyed forgiveness. He enjoyed undeserved kindness. He was an unworthy servant. But when it came time for him to forgive, he wouldn't do it. The man that he went to owed him 100 pence. And he grabbed him by the throat and he said, now I want payment for what you owe me. And that's just the type of a Christian sitting here today or out here in the world that's out of church because somebody has done something to them and they have unforgiving spirit. I was reading in a book, I think it was by Leonard Ravenhill, I'm not for sure. But he was talking about that experience in Corinthians where they put the man out of the church. The man repented, then they wouldn't let him back into the church. And in one of those chapters there, 5, 6, or 7, there was a comment made about that, about what Paul was saying to the church. Paul was not taking the side of the man, and Paul was not taking the side of the church. Paul was taking the side of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something as clearly and as honestly as I can to everyone and especially to myself. Whenever you and I start taking offenses and having an unforgiving spirit, we are not acting like Christians. Let me back. We are not acting like Christ. You cannot run your mouth. You cannot have hostile actions. You cannot do any of those things that we are naturally to do when somebody offends us and be right with the Lord. Now, this is as practical Christianity as you get, and it's one of the hardest things for us to learn is that we must forgive. So we have a servant who was forgiven, an unpayable debt. He had undeserved kindness. He was an unworthy servant, but he was an unforgiving servant. I will not forgive that person what they... I will go to my grave with this grudge. Okay, help yourself. You can, by the way. God let you. But he was an unthankful servant. Look down there in verse number 32. The king came and all this was told, and he gets his servant back in there and he says, "Hey, pal." He said, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" He was unthankful for being forgiven. That's why he was unforgiving. He was a very unthankful person. And I think a trend that has come across our churches today is a multitude of people sit inside these pews, or on these pews and inside the walls of our churches today, that really don't consider how good and how gracious God is to them to forgive them. So let's look at the sovereign, the king. In verse number 23, the Bible says the sovereign took account. And let me say this, that God's always accounting what's going on. You will never get by with anything before God. Let me read you a little hidden scripture back here that may help you. Oh, let me get over here where it is. Listen to this. Some men's sins are open beforehand going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. There's some guy, I tell you what, he acts like this, and I mean it's like a bolt of lightning from heaven. Bam! I mean, he can't even take a step without something happening. Another guy does the same thing. He goes all through life. Until he gets to the judgment. And then he pays for it. You don't get by with sin with God. So let me give you three things about the king. The reckoning of the king. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." You know, ladies and gentlemen, we are so worried about what everybody else is doing. And God said, "Why are you even judging your brother? We have to stand before God one day. And who cares if you agree or disagree with your brother? You're not accountable to them." Amen? You are accountable to God and to the Holy Word of God. And the Bible says, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." One day, friend, you and I will stand before God and the reckoning account will be brought up, and God will reckon with you whether you have been a forgiving person, a gracious person, or whether you've not. And if you haven't, you will pay dearly. Well, so we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So there's the reckoning of the king, but there was the remission of the king. The Bible said he just dismissed the dead. And I'm so glad there's the reckoning of God, and God has we have a debt against God we can't pay, but thank God there's remission of sins that are past. There's remission of sins that are past by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then there's the report to the king. The Bible says that whenever this unthankful servant condemned his fellow servant, there was a group of people that looked at him and said, "That's so unfair. That's so not right. We're going to tell our king what this man has done." Now, I want to tell you something. You be careful how you treat people, because if they go tell God on you, it's liable to rile him up. You say, oh, people can't tell God. Oh, you read the Bible and see, friend. Does not the cry of Abel's blood come before me? Abel was telling what Cain did. Lord, there's a fellow over here that, remember that guy you forgave that $10 million debt to that he couldn't ever pay? Yeah. He said, here was a guy that owed him 100 pence. He could have paid it in the next 8-9 months, and he was unwilling to forgive him. And we just thought you ought to know that. Huh. I wonder today. Hey, you know what? You know what that reminds me of? I just read in the book of Esther. Oh, Ahasuerus, or ever how you say his name. Haman had connived and deceived the king into killing all the Jews. And so they had plotted against him. They had done this fast. Mordecai and Esther and her group had fasted, and she was going to have this banquet before the king. And the king and Haman came in, and Haman was obviously the enemy of the Jews. And the Bible says that whenever he came in, the king Ahasuerus said to Esther, he said, Esther, what do you want? And she goes, well, I want you to come back tomorrow. So they came back tomorrow for the second banquet. And the king says, she said this, she goes, how can I be so happy whenever the enemy of the Jews, whenever there's been a plot against us? And the king looks at, I mean, that's his wife. And he says, honey, who's plotting against you? She goes, it's the enemy, that wicked Haman. And the Bible says instantly, oh, Ahasuerus went out in rage. Have you ever been so mad you didn't know what to do? Guys get so mad, their blood pressure goes up. It's a biological thing. Their blood pressure, when you get extremely angry, your blood pressure goes up that you can't even think and speak at the same time. So Ahasuerus, man, I mean, he is beat red. I mean, he's out there. And when he comes back, he takes care of Haman. Hangs him on the gallows. That's the intention of this verse here. This Lord of that servant. When he called him back in, he wasn't as pally as he was before, was he? He said, hey, come here. Get over here. You mean I forgave you that $10 million debt a minute ago because you asked me to, you desired me, and you couldn't forgive that guy right there just a little bit for what he's done to you? Are you telling me that? Are you telling me that? You're telling God that you can't forgive another human being for something they've done to you when God has forgiven you what you've done to His Son, Jesus Christ? You're telling God that? You have the courage to tell God that? The rebuke of the king says, listen, pal, I'm putting the debt back on you. Now, God's not teaching losing your salvation here, but He is teaching about reckoning what's right. I'm putting you back in under the bondage, and you will work the rest of your life, and your wife will work the rest of her life, and your children will work the rest of their life, and all that you have will be sold. Now, you listen to me. This man's unforgiveness just didn't affect him. It affected his family. And if you have unforgiveness, God will take it out on you and your family. You know why we have such family problems today? Because so many Christians, I'm not talking the lost world, I'm talking inside the church house. Because we've had people that have done things to us, and we have vowed hell or high water, we're getting even. It's a sad day whenever the Christian acts more unlike Christ than we act like Christ. Christianity, ladies and gentlemen, is not about just coming to church and singing a few songs and going home and living like you want through the day or through the week and then coming back here and acting like everything is okay. When you act contrary to the nature and the name of Christ, God holds us accountable. Now here's the lesson. It's in the last verse, verse number 35. Peter, here it is. Here's how many times you forgive your brother. Every time. For if you don't, I will make you sorry that you didn't. God said in verse 34, His Lord was wroth. I don't believe he was just frowning. I believe he was angry. And delivered him to the tormentors. Now I looked that up, and what that meant was it would be people that would sell you and your wife and your children and your material things and payment, put all that money towards that payment, and then you would be bound in chains and labor for free for the rest of your life or till the debt was paid. Doesn't sound like something I want to do. No weekdays off, no sleeping in. Work, work, work to pay your debt. Now I can get with that. But look at verse 35. So likewise, shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. First of all, the application is God knows if you're forgiving. The second application is God will respond to your unforgiving spirit. So shall my heavenly Father do unto you. Oh, preacher, I thought God is this loving, gracious, kind God, and God would never do anything to hurt me. Hey, could I just tell you this? He's all of those things and amen. Until you don't act like you ought to. And then God has commanded in His Word and by His nature, and will stand true to the promises that He's made here in this book, that you will forgive, or you'll be sorry you didn't. You mean God's going to do this to me? Mm-hmm. Now here's what He does. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. What did this guy do? He turned him over to the tormentors till he should pay. Good gravy. Who wants to be in chains and shackled all their life because they'd be unwilling? I mean, they're always like that. So you want to keep the devil in your life? Here's how you do it, Christian. You just be unforgiving. Yep. And here's what the Lord will do. The Lord will summon up the devil, all the demonic forces of hell. Say, come here. See that guy right there? See that Christian? See that girl Christian right there in the Sweet Springs Church this morning? See that guy Christian right there? Right here in the church? Have at him. What? You're telling me God's going to let the devil mess with me? I thought God loved me. Yeah, He does love you. And just so you know, the tormentors were not merciful people. Amen? I mean, the tormentors wanted you to pay and to be sorry what you done. Hence the word tormentors. They were not your friends. They were wanting you to pay for what you did and for you to be sorry for what you did. So whenever God looses the devil on you, say, preacher, I just don't believe. Well, you can close your eyes. It's what my son Sam used to do. Look all the time up to the sky whenever he'd be trying to be a smart aleck, and he'd look up to the... I said, you can look up there all you want, brother. It's my way or no way. So you can look up there. You can put your hand up. You can do this. You can do all that junk you want, pal, sister. But I'm going to tell you how it is. You say, well, I don't think that's Bible. Okay, so I'll read you another one. This is just as an example of it, just so that all of us will see it. This is talking about the tithes. Now, I don't want to talk about tithing. Get y'all in a bad spirit if I do. But if you don't tithe, God said, he'll let the devourer. Who is the devourer? Well, he's the devil. Get involved in your life and devour everything you got. He's the same person here. God said, I'll just use the devil to make you sorry that you're doing what you're doing, unforgiving. So let me ask you this and we'll quit. In light of what was said here in this passage of Scripture, come here, Gabe. Eric, up on this side. Here's two young men. A little bit closer. Good enough. What could this guy do to this guy and this guy do to this guy that they would be unwilling to never speak, to never shake hands, to never fellowship in the church compared to the great debt that God has forgiven them? What could you do? So I'll tell you what, preacher. You know, I sat down there in youth group and Eric said something or Gabe said something, whichever one. I'll tell you what, I'm older than him or I'm younger than him. I don't know who he thinks he is telling me. That's sure worth never speaking to somebody again in the rest of their life. Well, I'll tell you what, I was wanting to do this and they butted in. Are we four? Well, they butted in. I wanted to go first. You don't think people that are your age say that kind of junk? Oh, I guarantee you. Yeah. Now, you don't have a girlfriend yet, do you? Do you? Well, they want one. You want one, don't you? Some point in time, say yes. Say yes. Not your dad to have a heart attack and yours will too. What if they want the same one? Well, I'll tell you what, he stole my girlfriend. Well, she wasn't your girlfriend. Yeah, I'm never speaking to either of them again. Isn't it amazing how quickly we are to make eternal judgments about things that are just so foolish? Here's him and him. Both say they're saved. And there ought not to be one thing that they cross each other on that these two boys can't work out in the spirit of love for Christ. Now, you have a spirit of love for you, you'll never work it out. But if you have a spirit of love for Christ, here's what you'll be willing to do. I'm willing to take the wrong. I'm willing to take the wrong. I'm willing to come up short-handed so that Christ can be honored. Let me give you a quick verse. Rejoice with them that rejoice, or weep with them that weep. Which is easier? Now, for all of you superficial Christians in here, you're saying, I can rejoice with anybody. I can't. Especially if I wanted it and they got it. Amen? That's what, little things. Solomon said it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And we let little things in the Christian life. I'll tell you what, I'm never going back to that class. I'm never going back to that church. Okay. Well, just close up your Bible, go home and set for the rest of your life because you'll never get one prayer answered with that kind of spirit. Eric doesn't forgive him. Erica never get another prayer answered for as long as he lives until he forgives him. Gabe doesn't forgive him. He'll never get another prayer answered until he forgives him. Now, if I'm right, somebody better amen there. That's what the Bible says. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, God just, I have been unforgiving and God has answered prayer. No. Zero no. The devil can answer prayer, but God hasn't. You guys can sit down. Now, we're going to have an invitation. Miss Rosemarie, come on up here. I should have called you up 5 minutes ago, Prego. Come on. I shouldn't have said that. I just say that to her to her face. I'm thinking of ragoon sauce or something, you know. I don't know. I didn't mean to offend you. Forgive me. Watch your mouth, Tim. Okay. See how quickly you can offend? The Bible says if you open your mouth, you usually offend somebody. I didn't mean that. Somebody probably took offense to that. Don't take offense. She didn't. All right? So, do we have somebody in here this morning that says, you know what, Brother Tim, I've had an unforgiving spirit for year after year after year. Now, I've pawned it off on their fault or their actions. No, if you have an unforgiving spirit, here's what you're to do. One of two things. Number one, you're to go to the person. If they're present, you go to them right now and you ask them to forgive you and you take the wrong. If you take the wrong, you get the blessing. Now, would you rather have your grudge or have God's blessing? If they're not present, then you get at the altar and you commit yourself to finding them and making that right before the day's over with. If they're dead, then you make restitution to God for what you've done or for your unforgiveness. And if you've had an unforgiving spirit and it has affected your family, then, my friend, I would cry at this altar until God did something in my heart. But I can tell you this, as your pastor, as your friend, as a preacher of the word, you're not going to get anywhere with God with an unforgiving spirit. Just let it go. Father, I thank you for the day. And I thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture and oh, how it's convicted me so many times. And Lord, right now, as far as I know, my conscience is clear towards every person as a member of the church. Lord, I pray today that if I have offended someone, that God, you would surely bring that to my mind, that I might be at that right with them. Lord, there are probably some sitting in here that's holding a grudge over something. And God, they've tried to act spiritual. They've tried to hide it. They've tried to cover it. But God, it's just like a cancer eating away in their spirit. Help them to forsake that in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Miss Rosemarie's playing the hymn of invitation.